Here's a question for you. Why hasn't the rapture already occurred? How many armed conflicts are we having just between the United States of America and Muslim countries? The answer to that is about 110, and that's just for Muslims. Well, how many Muslims are there in the world compared to Americans? Americans have 341,079,412 people. How many do Muslims have in the world? 1.9 billion people. So they're outpopulating us in the U.S. They could easily muster a 200 million man army. If they unite behind the 12th Imam when he shows up, and that 12th Imam says to all the Muslims around the world, if he says, now we must jihad against the United States, what do you think would happen? Well, it would be a very large set of conflicts. I'm not sure America is ready for that, but I do believe that they will have supporters in Iran and China and India. You ever think about India and Pakistan and Afghanistan and Iran, Turkmenistan, Turkey, Iraq, Syria, Egypt, Saudi Arabia? Israel is surrounded by her enemies. Right now, there are at least two in Myanmar, that's just north of Thailand. There are several in the vicinity. There are three between Afghanistan and Kyrgyzstan and Pakistan. There are some in Turkmenistan, just east of Turkey. There are five conflicts in Romania, Turkey, Syria, Iraq, Israel. There are 11 there. Even in Egypt and Sudan, there are three. In Ethiopia, there's like nine of them. In Somalia, Kenya, Tanzania, and various other places in Africa. Is there a rapture coming, really? And if so, why hasn't it started before this? If it's a pre-trib rapture, and we're already fighting 110 conflicts, armed conflicts, they could easily overwhelm us just with their population. The Muslims are the ones killing more people on earth than anybody. It's just what's happening. Yemen, for example, Saudi Arabia, Ethiopia. So what's the outcome of all this? Where does the rapture fit in? We have a set of gospels that all predict the same thing along the same timeline, and the rapture doesn't occur until almost the end of the chapters of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and certainly the works of John in the entire book of Revelation. He doesn't mess up the order of the timing. The rapture happens at the last moment, not at the first. Let's take a look at it and see. We'll start in the book of Mark this time. Mark 13, verse 1. As Jesus was leaving the temple on that day, one of his disciples said, "Teacher, look at these magnificent buildings. Look at the impressive stones in the walls." Jesus replied, "Yes, look at these great buildings, but they will be completely demolished. Not one stone will be left on top of another." Later, Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives across the valley from the temple. Peter, James, John, and Andrew came to him privately and asked him, "Tell us, when will all this happen? Tell us, what sign will show us that these things are about to be fulfilled. Jesus replied, "Don't let anyone mislead you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah. They will deceive many, and you will hear of wars and threats of wars, but don't panic. Try now. 110 conflicts going on? Yes, these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. Nation will go to war against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in many parts of the world, as well as famines. But this is only the first of the birth pains, with more to come. When these things begin to happen, watch out. You will be handed over to the local councils and beaten in the synagogues. You will stand trial before governors and kings because you are my followers. This will be your opportunity to tell them about me, for the good news must be preached in all the nations. But when you're arrested and stand trial, don't worry about it in advance, what you're going to say. Just say what God tells you at the time. For it is not you who will be doing the speaking, but the Holy Spirit. A brother will betray his brother to death. A father will betray his own child. And children will rebel against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And everyone will hate you because you are my followers. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. Where's the rapture mentioned? It should be there. It should have been there already. But no, it's later, not now. There's a whole lot of things to come. That'll be found in verse 27 of chapter 13 of Mark. And everyone will hate you because you're my followers, but you must endure to the end to be saved. The day is coming when you will see the sacrilegious object that causes desecration. It'll be standing where it should not be. Then those in Judea must flee to the hills. A person out on the deck of a roof must not go down into the house to pack. A person out in the field must not return even to get a coat. How terrible it will be for pregnant women and for nursing mothers in those days. And pray that your flight will not be in the winter, for there will be greater anguish in those days than at any time since God created the world. And it will never be so great again. In fact, unless the Lord shortens that time of calamity, not a single person will survive. Okay, so where's the rapture there? Do you see it? I missed something? Hasn't happened yet. But for the sake of his chosen ones, he has shortened those days. Now that's verse 20. We still have seven more to get to the rapture verse. Then if anyone tells you, look, here's the Messiah, or there he is, don't believe it, for false messiahs and false prophets will rise up and perform signs and wonders so as to deceive, if possible, even God's chosen ones. Watch out! I have warned you about this ahead of time. At that time, after the anguish of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will give no light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. You can also see something just about like that in Matthew 24, verse 29. Then everyone will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds with power, great power and glory. He will send out his angels to gather his chosen ones from all over the world, from the farthest ends of the earth and heaven. That's verse 27. We had to get all the way through all these troubles before we got there. There are 15 other events that happened before the rapture. What are they? Well, we just read them. The good news must be preached. What good news is that? The good news that we have a Savior who is coming to rescue our planet alive. Not dead, alive. That's number one. Number two, you will be arrested and stand trial. Number three, a brother will betray his own brother to death. Likewise will fathers and children. And everyone will hate you because you're my followers, and you must endure to the end. Number five, the sacrilegious object that causes desolation, standing where it should not be, i.e., the Temple Mount, more than likely. Next is number six, is the great escape, telling people to get ready to run and be ready all the time, not even considering going back inside to get a coat. It'll be too late. You got to go now. Run. The seventh thing, there will be greater anguish in those days than ever before. Unprecedented trouble on planet Earth. And not just localized in Israel either. It's all over the place. There's already 110 conflicts, and the U.S. is involved in every last one of those. But we're not the only ones at war. There's war going all over. So what's he predicting next? Well, he says, in fact, that unless the Lord shortens that time of calamity, not a single person will live. They won't survive. Well, that's what he's predicting, is all of these escalations. One triggers another, triggers another, triggers another, triggers another. On down. It's only going to get worse, and it's only going to escalate to make it so. He's telling us what to expect in our lifetime and in our near future. And he gives us a kite of hope. Number nine, but for the sake of God's chosen ones, he, God, has shortened those days. Well, good. That's great. Next comes false messiahs and false prophets that perform signs and wonders that are believable. But it's a deceit. He says, watch out. I've warned you about this ahead of time. And then the big four. The sun will be darkened. The moon will give no light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens, i.e. the weather, will be shaken, disrupted, destroyed, ruined. 15. Everyone will then see the Son of Man coming on the clouds with power and great glory. See, Jesus comes at the last minute, not at the first trump. And then the rapture, so-called rapture. It's not really in the book that way. It says he will gather, he will send out his angels to gather his chosen ones from all over the world, from the farthest ends of earth and heaven. And we'll stop right there. Well, we can't find that in the book of John, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Well, here's what he says about it in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7. Look, he comes with the clouds of heaven, and everyone will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the nations of the world will mourn for him. Unquote. How is it that those who pierced him with a spear and killed him will be there to see him come back? The answer to that, to me, is they actually repented of their sin and turned to Christ. they became believers by watching it happen and by seeing the fact that he rose from the dead. They will be there as saints in the future. And that's what I think he meant by this. So none of the four gospel writers got the timing wrong. What did Luke say about it? Luke 21, starting in verse 8, he replied, "Don't let anyone mislead you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and saying, 'The time is come.' But don't believe them. And when you hear of wars and insurrections, don't panic. Yes, these things must take place first, but the end won't follow immediately." Then he added, "Nation will go to war against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and there will be famines and plagues, pestilences, i.e. diseases, in many lands, and there will be terrifying things and great miraculous signs from heaven. But before all that occurs, there will be a time of great persecution. We haven't seen the rapture yet. You will be dragged into synagogues and prisons, and you will stand trial before kings and governors because you're my followers. But this will be your opportunity to tell them about me. So don't worry in advance about how you're going to answer the charges against you. For I will give you the right words and such wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to reply to or refute. Even those closest to you, your parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, will betray you." Are you ready for that? I don't think anybody could be. "They will even kill some of you. And everyone will hate you because you are my followers. But not a hair of your head will perish." Well, that's not permanently, in other words. "By standing firm, you will save your life, or win your soul." Soul there is psuche. It means breath or life. "And when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, as we do today, then you will know that the time of its destruction has arrived. Then those in Judea must flee to the hills. Those in Jerusalem must get out, and those in the country should not return to the city, for those will be the days of God's vengeance, and the prophetic words of the scriptures will be fulfilled. How terrible it will be for pregnant women and nursing mothers in those days, for there will be disaster in the land and great anger against this people," in other words, Israel. "They will be killed by the sword. They will be sent away as captives to all the nations of the world, and Jerusalem will be trampled down by Gentiles." Well, who's that? Well, it's the Muslims, partially anyway, "until the period of the Gentiles comes to an end. And there will be strange signs in the sun, moon, and stars." We heard about that earlier. The sun will grow dark, the moon will refuse to shine, and the stars will disappear. "And here on earth, the nations will be in turmoil, perplexed by the roaring seas and strange tides. People will be terrified at what they see coming on the earth, for the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then everyone will see the Son of Man coming on a cloud and with power and great glory. So when all These things begin to happen. Stand and look up, for your salvation is near. And that's the only rapture verse in chapter 21 of Luke. That's verse 28. Dropping down to verse 32, I tell you the truth, this generation will not pass from the scene until all these things have taken place. That would be the generation living at the time, i.e., probably right about now. So how long will it take before we get to the point where, unless Christ Jesus returns to save mankind alive, all people will go extinct? They're not going to do that, thanks to him. Well, I don't know how long it'll take. It could take 10 years for it to escalate to that point. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, the Muslims are continuing to outpopulate every other people group on earth, even China, even India. Do you know that India has the same square footage, roughly, as the United States? Yet it has 6 times more people. They must be trampling on one another. Many of them are Hindus over there, and many more are Muslims, and the Muslims will take over every country, or at least dominate every country, according to these words, seems to me. In verse 31, he says, the same way, when you see all these things taking place, you can know that the kingdom of God is near. I tell you the truth, this generation won't disappear, won't pass from the scene until they do. Heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear. What does he mean by that? How is it that heaven and earth will disappear? Well, from view, yeah. We won't be able to see it because of what he said up here in verse 25. The sun, the moon, and the stars will blacken away. They'll go away. He says in verse 34, watch out. Don't let your hearts be dulled by carousing and drunkenness and by the worries of this life. Don't let that day catch you unaware like a trap. For that day will come upon everyone living on earth. Keep alert at all times and pray that you might be strong enough to escape these things coming on the earth. That you will be able to be strong enough to escape the coming horrors and to stand before the Son of Man. The good news is that God does care and that he will come back to save us. I want to finish up the podcast today in the book of Zephaniah. What does that have to say? Have you ever read it? Let's take a look. If my calculations are right, Zephaniah was the great-great-grandson of Hezekiah, the king of Israel. Actually, Judah. There is a warning in chapter 1 and verse 6. I will destroy those who used to worship me, but now no longer do. That's pretty scary. I won't have time to cover it all, but he says in verse 14, the terrible day of the Lord is near. Swiftly it comes, a day of bitter tears, a day when even strong men cry out. It will be a day when the Lord's anger is poured out, a day of terrible distress and anguish, a day of ruin and desolation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and blackness, a day of trumpet calls and battle cries. Down go the walled cities and the strongest battlements. It's all pretty scary stuff, really. For the whole land, this is in the latter part of verse 18, the whole land will be devoured by fire, the fire of his jealousy. He will make a terrifying end of all the people on earth. In chapter 2, verse 2, he says, act now before the fierce fury of the Lord falls and the terrible day of the Lord's anger begins. Seek the Lord, all you who are humble, and follow his commands. Seek to do what is right and live humbly. And then dropping down to chapter 3, and this is talking about Jerusalem's rebellion and redemption. This is the best part, by the way. Its prophets are arrogant, verse 4, chapter 3 of Zephaniah. They're arrogant liars seeking their own gain, seeking their own gain. Its priests defile the temple by disobeying God's instructions. But the Lord is still there in the city, and he does no wrong. In verse 6, he says, I have wiped out many nations, devastating their fortress walls and towers. Their streets are now deserted. Their cities lie in silent ruin. There will be no survivors, none at all. I thought, verse 7, surely they will have reverence for me now. Surely they will listen to my warnings. Then I won't need to strike again, destroying their homes. But no, they get up early to continue their evil deeds. Therefore, be patient, says the Lord. Soon I will stand and accuse these evil nations, for I have decided to gather the kingdoms of the earth and pour out my fiercest anger and fury on them. All the earth will be devoured by fire, the fire of my jealousy. Then I will purify the speech of all people, so that everyone can worship the Lord together. You see that? He's saving our world and restoring it. On that day, you will no longer need to be ashamed, for you will no longer be rebels against me. I will remove all proud and arrogant people from among you. Verse 12, those who are left will be the lowly and humble, for it is they who trust in the name of the Lord. And hopefully that's you and me. On that day, the announcement to Jerusalem will be, this is verse 16, cheer up, Zion, don't be afraid, for the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. You see, God is coming back to save the world alive. That's the best news we could ever want. You can go to my website, itellwhy.com, and you can read more about it. But there are some really good days coming, despite all these conflicts all over the world. That's the way World War III is going to be fought, folks. It'll be just little wars here and there all over the planet. And it will escalate, and it will become nuclear, no doubt about it. So just hold on, be patient. Don't expect the rapture to come before the troubles. It would have already happened years ago by now. So anyway, more of that later. You can go to the website, itellwhy.com, and watch the videos there and do lots of other things. Read my 8 books, for example. There's nothing for sale. I don't want your email address. Not trying to get anything. I'm trying to build your faith. That's all. So, for Bible Prophecy Radio, this is Albert Hardy. Goodbye, friends.